Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to today's episode. I am absolutely thrilled to have you here, and I am thrilled to have Shay Dominguez. Her company is called Level Up with Shay, and she's a creator coach. And I love this because I have creativity in my family, not my husband, but my kids are very creative. So I'm excited for our conversation today. So welcome to the show, Shay.
Thank you, Jeannie. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us, what is a creator coach and how did you become one?
So a creator coach is someone who helps creatives explore who they are and put that out into the world. And how did I become that? It's been a journey, I'm sure, as with a lot of your guests. But I started putting out content in 2020. And I was a comedian. I lived in LA for 5 years before that. And I still do comedy. I'm still a part of my life. But 2020 is when I really started doing content. We were locked inside and had nowhere to go. So I'm like, I'm going to start filming myself. And so I created these characters called Gary and Mary, and they're twins. And Gary's just really dumb and naive. And Mary is sick of it. You know, it really blew up on TikTok. People just loved them. So I was like, I really want to do more of this. I continued posting on both TikTok and Instagram and figuring out who I was as a creator, because this was all new to me. I had done comedy, but creating on social media is a whole different game. It was a challenging time for me because you get so much feedback and you're like, yes, I want to do more of this. But you're also like, I want to do other stuff. Will they like that other stuff? I had gone in and out of creating Gary and Mary. And then through that started the video creator membership. That was a 6-week program for creators to come in. No requirements. Like, you just had to want to make videos and make it comedy, because that's what I knew. That's what I can help you with. The 6 weeks, I had 3 groups at the time, and it was just so much fun exploring with people. You know, they would make a video, edit it, and they would bring it to the meeting, and everybody would watch it. They would give constructive feedback. It was just so fun watching people go from 0 to the end of the 6 weeks, just being more confident in what they were putting out and what they were making, how to make certain things. I mean, there is no like one way to do it, you know, and sometimes I'm not the right coach for somebody and vice versa. But it was just really fun seeing that transformation, not just in the content, but in the confidence of the people who came in.
I love that. That sounds like so much fun. Tell me a couple of the, if you remember, stories or characters. Was it all people, or was it animated, or was it hybrid, or was it, tell me a little bit more.
It was all people. Animated would be really cool. I do have an animator friend who I'm amazed by. It's just kind of relatable things. It all fit into people's personalities too. So I remember this one guy, I want to say dark energy, but it's not dark energy and bad. It's just like, you know, he sees the world a little differently. And so his videos would display that. I think in one video, it was him and he was talking to, it was back and forth between him and a dog. And he was like voicing the dog. So that was really fun. And it just really showed his humor. I think another one was kind of an awkward video, maybe like a cashier at a coffee shop. And it was just a very awkward interaction. I can't even remember the specific reaction, but I remember the guy, he's completely bald, but he put on a wig, like a woman's wig. And it just, you know, bringing the characters out of these people was just really fun. I know there were like, those were 2 examples that I really remember.
Yeah. So it's all about storytelling, isn't it?
Yes. You can go online and you can find a video that's successful and you're like, I want to do that. And then you go do it. And that's fun. It's fun to like try new things out, but everybody has their own way and their own style of comedy that just comes naturally. So it's kind of helping people find that.
I love that. And I love that you're helping them do video, because
I don't think people recognize that by being on video over time, you do become more confident. You almost become clearer with your message and emotions and how you project yourself. It's definitely, a comfort thing, like a lot of things. But I think some people think I can never do video and I'll never be comfortable on video.
So I work with a gym right now, CrossFit gym. Love it with their marketing and storytelling. And I was asking a few members if I could interview them. And one was like, "No, I'm not good on camera. I'm not." And I'm like, "Hey, that's totally cool. I'm not going to push you." But I also thought, we're just having a conversation. All I'm asking you is, "Hey, what do you love about this gym? What made you want to come to this gym?" It's just a conversation that I would have had anyway, but now we put a camera in front of them and they get all in their head. It is a process. And then I think after a while, even for myself being on camera, it's another person. This is a person who is now acting in character, and who I am is completely different from that. I am a whole encompassing, right, like person who has a lot of interests and hobbies and all of this, but then I take a small part of that and I put it in a video. So sometimes when I'm editing, like there's even this kind of wall up. That's not me. That's a character that I'm playing.
Well, I think that could help some people, couldn't it? If they think about it as a character and not as saying not 100% them, but you know what I mean? Like it is 100% them, but it's a part of them.
Yes. And I think that could help people absolutely. And it just takes practice. Yes, eventually somebody would feel that, but just starting off, probably not.
As a creator coach, are you just working right now with people who are in comedy or who want to be?
Not necessarily. I feel like a creator coach, it also plays a part in the gym business or my other clients that I have who coaches leaders and nonprofit. And that is all about storytelling. I think these days what separates people is the story. I see people writing blogs, putting out social media posts. AI can do that with a snap of a finger. So what separates you? And it's your story. So it's not even necessarily comedy. I go all over. And so I like bringing in humor to storytelling. It just comes natural. I go wherever there's a story, and they're all over the place.
I love that. And people love humor. They like to laugh and laugh at themselves or laugh at someone else. And if you can make, especially like serious subjects, a little more lighthearted by bringing in some appropriate humor, that can be very, very effective.
Yes, I've had hosted laughter workshops as well. They've all been virtual. I did one in person, but that is mostly with businesses, leaders, people around the corporate world who deal with very serious stuff every day. Humor just helps. The appropriate humor helps.
Yeah. In so many situations, I'm trying to think of a book that I read that I loved, and she talked about bringing humor into corporations. Oh, it's called Humor Seriously.
I
Have you
like
ever
it.
heard that?
Oh,
Oh, it's great. I think it's two ladies actually, and they talk about uncomfortable situations and they talk about corporations and how just a little bit of humor can lighten the load and can make meetings more effective because everybody kind of puts their guard down a little bit.
right. Yes. And I was in some type of workshop the other day and they were talking about using humor. And one person mentioned sarcasm. And sarcasm can work in some instances, but you have to be careful with it because people may not get your sarcasm. Sometimes even my friends are like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh, that was sarcastic. Sorry." Don't like walk on eggshells or anything, but be
Yeah.
intentional.
Yeah. That's funny you say that because I lived, my husband's English and I lived in England for 4 years and they're very sarcastic, very dry. And so when I moved back to the States, after I was here for, I don't know, about a year or so, I thought, I wonder if I really upset people because it can be very biting. You're like, oh my gosh, did you say that? But to them, humor is also something that sense of affection or camaraderie, or it means more, and it can be a bit rough.
Yeah, no, I like it. There's a lot of times I like it, but There's a time and a place for it for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about some clients. You've talked a little bit about some of your workshops, but let's talk about some of the clients that you've worked with. What problems they were having when they came to you, and how you kind of walked them through to get them to where they needed to be.
So one in particular, I worked with a mom that was her persona, right, online. And really what it was is coming into a session, her sharing, hey, problems, wins from the week, what she enjoyed, what was kind of a lot for her, because she's got two kids, she's got a husband. Husband travels, you know, she has to, okay, I need to film on Monday and edit on Tuesday because that's when my husband's there. So going productivity type stuff, but then also creatively, how can this idea work the best? I always script out my videos, and I have friends who are very popular on social media who they don't script out anything. And that's totally cool. There's different ways to do it. But for me, I like scripting, and with my clients, I like scripting, especially filming multiple characters. If you're having to put on multiple wigs or hats, literally, then you want to have that script in front of you so you can knock out a filming session super quickly, right? You're not guessing. And then when you go to editing, it's easy because you have the script and you can just plug and play. I think time-wise, time management, and then creative. Those are the two things we really focus on.
Yeah, because it's hard. My son is ending his second year of art school and he's exhausted. And when you think about it, you go to a university and your first couple of years are usually math, English, maybe one of the ologies, sociology or geology. But to have to be creative in five or six different subjects that are kind of all over the board, it can be exhausting.
Yes. And creative people. So it sounds like your son is creative since he's going to art school, right? Sometimes it's hard to also bring in that time management piece, right? That discipline piece. Like, we love doing the art, but it's the time management that trips us up. And then we're like, oh, well, we can't produce this art now. And then, you know, we get sad or upset or depressed. And that's something that I figured out recently in the past few years of being a freelancer and then also a coach and then also a creative. How do I manage my time? And I think the biggest thing for me is not everything has to get done now. As creatives, we are so excited to put something out that we feel like we need to drop everything and do it now, especially when so much stuff on social media is timely, right? The Super Bowl happens. Now you see all of these videos about the Super Bowl. I have to get my Super Bowl video out. Are you called to make that Super Bowl video, or are you doing it because it's trending? I imagine the people doing it for trends, this is just a guess, as happy. They're chasing these things instead of connecting back with themselves and being like, what should I be working on right now? What should I be focusing my energy on right now? Because we only have so much energy to give, not only hours in the day, but energy. I think time management and creativity, they seem to butt heads a lot. But I think when you can find the happy medium in that, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I love how you talk about chasing instead of connecting. That is not what we want to do. We want to feel inspired. And like you said, you kind of have to bring that energy to, especially if it's a video, because people are looking at you and they can read everything on your face. And if you're not bringing the energy that you want to your character or your story, they're going to call you out on it.
Oh, yeah, I have felt that many times. I'm like, editing, I'm not even into this. And so we feel it. I feel it. And so the audience is definitely going to feel it too.
If somebody were thinking, I want to be more creative in what I'm putting out there, like, what would be their first step to getting more creative or feeling more creative?
I think first step is, what do you love to do? What do you spend your time doing? Hopefully, you know, your time where you don't have all these obligations, right? I have a client who I work with who coaches leaders, but she loves helping her daughter's Girl Scout troop, volunteers with them, does activities with them, and they're doing a lot of really cool stuff. But every time we meet, she like talks about that, or she talks about some exciting thing that has happened. And I'm like, this right here, this is what you need to be talking about. Like, I understand you coach leaders and you need to be that professional person and give them value and everything. But the real value comes from your passion, I feel, and being able to connect with that passion. Again, your audience can feel that. So it doesn't even matter if she's talking about leadership in a post, if she brings her passion to it, her Girl Scouts, all of those hobbies, then people were like, I want to work with that person.
I love hearing that because her joining the Girl Scout troop, there actually are ways that she could bring that into, I guess, what you could call a full-time job, but that's kind of a bad terminology, I guess. But I remember reading about teaching people how to sew or something, and she ended up creating like a multi six-figure business, based on these tiny little sessions that she would have, but she loved it, and people could see that, and they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to be there.
She's, yeah, like you said, she started with her passion. Then I'm sure people started coming to her, being like, oh, can you teach me this? And then it grew rather than how can I make money from this thing? Because that ruins things. And not saying that you cannot make money from your passion. Obviously, you can. There's so many more examples of it nowadays. Having that foundation of passion rather than the foundation of need, of chasing, of I need my life to be this way so I can make this money and do this. And that's one key. I don't want to say the key, that is a key for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'd like to think that that's changing. It used to be, I remember my dad was, you need to get a job that you're going to stay in forever and get a pension. And then, it was almost like then delay your enjoyment till after you retire. We're going to save all this money so we can retire. And I've heard some not very happy stories about people not being 100% when they retire. So I love that people can start businesses and help other people and enjoy themselves at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, gotta make life worth living, right?
So, yeah. And I was going to say with that too, you have a full-time job and you want to do, say, sewing on the side just as a hobby. It doesn't have to take all up all of your time. Just do it leisurely. Just do it when you want to. And I think the time management and discipline also comes into play, being that creative. Because if you have a goal, if you're like, I would love to have this sewing business one day, then maybe an hour a week, maybe that's enough to start out. But eventually, okay, I want this thing. What can I do now to make that happen in the future? Right. So, like, don't put it off. But again, it doesn't have to take up like all of your time.
So you talked about a lot of different types of people that you work with. Tell me who was like your ideal client, if you have one.
I would say my ideal client, it can be a little general, but somebody who has a story. Truly, I've worked with a cafe who has been there for 15 years, made it through the pandemic, and they have this book that they go in and people sign with talking about their trip. There's a river like right by and they do tours and stuff like that. And I'm like, wait, where's all of this stuff on your website? On your social media, where's the story, right? And again, with the gym, the same story, the leadership coach, different stories, but same story, So I think even with creators, they have a story, they have a perspective to share. And so I think my ideal client is someone who wants to share that story, get out of the box that society says they need to be in. Or that social media says they need to be in and explore what makes them unique.
I love that. That's very profound. You're right. There are stories everywhere around you. I love the idea that there's a shop that has a book that you can sign and people can talk about. Because it's one thing to see online reviews, and that's important and has a place for people who are looking for a good coffee shop nearby. But the personality comes through when you've got a book and people have handwritten in there their experience or their. The people that served them and how much they enjoyed it. It's really warm.
It's very powerful. The owner showed me just one story that was like talking about adoption, and then they met up with their parents later at that shop. Serious stories. Like that person will remember that cafe for the rest of their life. And stories have been forever since we were living in caves. Stories have been here forever. So they're powerful, and they are more relevant today than ever before.
Yeah, more relevant and more useful might not be the right word, but they are a valuable way of showcasing who you are and what's happening around you. And people are interested in that. They've always been interested in what's happening kind of behind the scenes on anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, you couldn't see that before when you say Marilyn Monroe in Hollywood, or like you didn't see the behind the scenes for them. They were these people who were not the same as me. Right. But now, yeah, you see behind the scenes all over the place. And it's really cool. You see these other people and you're like, oh, I can do that too. Or, oh, I have a similar story. Yeah.
Do you feel like businesses in general aren't doing that enough, that they need to share those little stories? Because I think sometimes businesses that go online, or online businesses, you know, feel like they need to just talk about, here's my program, here's my service, here are my products, and not really giving them any personality or anything for people to latch on to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think I see businesses do it. I see businesses do it all over the place, but then I see businesses don't do it. And they do just focus, this is what I provide, these are the services. And really, when you tell a good story, you don't even have to promote your services. People seek you out. I think it should be at the forefront of a business owner's mind to share their story, even in front of sharing their services and the business part.
I love this. I've actually been obsessed with storytelling. I'm not very good at it, but I was looking for classes to learn about storytelling, no joke, about 20 years ago. And I was like, why aren't there any classes out there about that? So I'm grateful that you are out there helping people. I'm grateful there are books and classes and things out there to help people tell a better story.
And you know what's so funny about that is when I lived in Los Angeles, I went to Upright Citizens Brigade, it's a renowned comedy school and theater. And I took a storytelling class. I think it was an 8-week class. I quit after the second week. I was terrified because I said, I wasn't good at storytelling, because when I'm with somebody, you know, and I'm trying to tell a story of something that happened, I feel like I'm all over the place, right? So I had that experience before, and well, I'm not good at it. And so being in two classes, it just really scared me. And then I'm going to have to memorize this story, and then I'm going to have to tell it in front of people. And so I quit. And so it's so funny, 10 years ago, that happened-ish, that now I love storytelling and I do it on my own, and then I help other people tell their story. So it's just kind of interesting. I think I was running away from something that was really made for me, and I didn't know it then because I was scared.
Yeah, you got there in the end.
Right.
And you're helping other people be brave, I have no doubt. If you want to tell everyone, if they're thinking, I need someone to show me the ropes, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Shady Jokes is my Instagram. You can find comedy stuff on there. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. Shale Dominguez. Shale's my full name. ShayDominguez.com is also a great place. And my email, Shay@ShayDominguez.com is a great
place. Excellent. Where do we find Gary and Mary?
Gary and Mary, they have their own Instagram, Gary and Mary IG. And then they're also on TikTok, which is Shady Jokes.
Oh, I definitely will. So I have one last question for you, which I ask all my guests, and that is, if you could give the world one tip to make it a better place, what would that be?
One tip would be to have compassion for people. We talk about story this whole conversation. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a reason as to why they come to certain conclusions, why they make certain decisions. Not saying that all of those conclusions or all of those decisions are right, you know, or whatever the word you want to use, but everybody has a story. And when you can have compassion for those other people, even compassion for yourself, for decisions that you've made that maybe weren't the best, I think everybody could use a little bit more compassion and understanding.
I love that. Well said. Well, Shay, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been fantastic to get to know you, to talk about storytelling, and I'm sure it's inspired our audience as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. This was so much fun.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.